And now, it's time for the talk of the Northwest. The 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Yes, indeed. Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show for this Friday morning. It is 5 minutes past nine on the 17th of May, and it is a Friday. Coming up very shortly, we're going to be joined by our Friday panel. I'll introduce them to you in a moment. A little later on, we are going to be telling you why we are here live in on Green and Hotel Burt. It's part of the Changemakers Donegal Seminar. What's that all about? Well, stay tuned and we'll let you know. We've got some really interesting guests to introduce to you along the way. So let's meet our panel this morning, and we'll say good morning first to Claire McDonough. Claire, good morning to you. Can you hear me okay? Are you there?
Good morning, Greg.
Excellent stuff. You never know until I just hear your dulcet tones, so it's good to have you on. We're also in the company of Patricia McBride, Director of On Green On Theatre. Good morning, Patricia. Mary Hart is a broadcaster and is with us as well. Good morning to you, Mary. How are you keeping?
Good morning, Greg. Yes, I'm fine. Thank you. Sun is shining.
Good stuff, isn't it? It's going to be a lovely day today. Right, let's get into some of the issues of the day. I'll start with you, Mary, if that's okay. This week, the government signed off on the reduction of payments to almost 30,000 Ukrainian refugees who are in government-serviced accommodation. What's your take on this move and the timing of it? Perhaps there's zero significance to the timing of it. What do you think?
Before I say this, I think it's important that we look at who this is for. That this is to do with human beings. I was fortunate to be in Falkara recording a nationwide piece with Ukrainian refugees recently, and I met the most wonderful local community and new community, and the positivity that was being engendered there. So that's just to put it into just focus that we are not dealing with statistics and numbers, which we seem to be doing it, but rather put a human face of lovely women, lovely men, lovely children. Last week I saw the same at the RCC in Letterkenny, a choir of male immigrants having a wonderful rehearsal. So those are the positives. I can't say whether this is election. I suppose what we see this morning is saying that there is there's a balance now. Virtually half of the voters say that it's positive to have immigrants in Ireland, and again the same amount saying it's a negative. The political parties that are likely to gather votes from that in the local elections, it is very definitely a focus in the local elections. So I therefore would sort of assume it may have been prompted by concerns within the political parties, particularly the government parties, that if, you know, I suppose the aggravation that seems to be there. So I personally, I don't know how anybody could live on €38 a week. If you want to buy a pint of milk, or if you want to go and buy I'm not going to say a packet of cigarettes, but, you could, a loaf of bread, many loaves of bread will you get for that. I just think it's appalling.
I know you did mention cigarettes and what have you, but if you go to MABS or any organisation like that and they are assessing your finances, there is an accepted spend on, and it's, it doesn't mean that you have great resources. There is an acceptable spend on things like an occasional takeaway if you happen to have the occasional drink.
Yeah.
The people most likely to be affected by this, before we bring in the rest of the panel, the people most affected by this are likely to be older people. They're likely to be single women or women who have to stay in the accommodation to care for children. In any other circumstances, the public might be really upset about that, but because it's such a divisive issue, that doesn't seem to bother people, sadly.
No, sadly is the word, because bear in mind, and this is the Central Statistics Office and Eurostat figures, so they're, I'm not making it up, I looked it up last night. Ireland is the second wealthiest country in the 27 EU countries. With the GDP, which means our spending power is better than any other country bar Luxembourg. So we do have the power of, whether we like it or not, we're a wealthy country. We do have the power to put money aside to help people who need help. These people who come in fleeing other wars are not coming here and leaving a nice warm fireside and a lovely hotel room to be unable to speak the language. So they're here for a very good reason. They're traumatised. They want to get back home. There are certainly a percentage of people who come.
But well, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that if that's all right, Mary. Thanks very much. Claire McDonough, President of Electric Kenny Chamber and Director of Le Maison. And, I mean, Mary hasn't said otherwise, but these welfare cuts are for Ukrainians that came here at the start of the war and before March of this year. They are in state accommodation that is serviced the likes of laundry, food and what have you, but their payments are being reduced from, you know, 230 odd down to 3860. I've talked about those that are it's most likely to affect. Do you believe this is a positive move by government? And I'll ask the question of you that I asked of Mary, to be fair. Do we read anything into the timing of it?
Well, of course we can read something into the timing of it, because, but I do think, and I mean, this was, this process began, these reductions began in December for new incoming Ukrainians. So the fact that they rolled it out now, that this didn't, I suppose this policy didn't appear just this week. But I think, I agree with everything Mary said. I couldn't live on 38 euros a week. You know, I don't think very many of us could. But I think that there's a couple of things in the wider picture that
Can I just say something on that, Claire, with respect? And I'm only sort of saying what I think I can hear people listening saying. There's also very many people in this county that once they have all of their bills paid, actually don't have 38.60 left over.
That's where I was going.
Okay,
that's
right,
where
sorry.
I was going. But I think about, I suppose I'm trying to think, you know, both sides of the coin here. How does the Ukrainian mother, child, grandmother, how do they survive? But on the other hand, I think the government is responding to a general national mood change. But I think part of that is coming from, I think Donegal, you know, we always say Donegal is different, but there's a couple of things I don't understand about the policy or the lack of policy around Ukrainian and international protection numbers that come into Donegal. Mary has said we're a really wealthy country. I'm not disputing that at all. But Donegal, I think, has the third highest in terms of the intake into any country.
It's the second, actually, behind Kerry.
Right. And I don't have an issue with that, as, yes, we're very charitable and all of that. But I think Donegal, the playing field in Donegal is different. We don't have the best of infrastructure. Our infrastructure is actually appalling. But our housing situation was always under such strain anyway. And then you put in defective concrete blocks. Donegal should have had a bit of a hard pass here. If I'm an affected Mica homeowner, for example, and I'm looking at all this, I think the mood is changing, because we're not doing... It's not that we should take from one to give to the other. I'm not saying that. But when you look at the overall local context here, we should have been a bit smarter about how this was rolled out in Donegal. And you can't expect people who are directly affected themselves, you know, to not feel under pressure by the intake. So, you know, a number of things can be true at the same time. Everybody can be right in their point. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. We have to look at everything in the round. I have huge sympathy for anyone who has fled war, absolutely, and they absolutely should be protected. My point would be there are counties and areas in Ireland maybe that were better equipped. Now, I know no place in Ireland is better equipped, because the whole plan, there has been...
Yeah, I just want to explain to listeners, Claire's going to rejoin us. I just want to explain to listeners, there is the occasional just dropout on this link, and rather than me speak into it every single time, there might be a half a second where it drops out. My apologies for that, but if I come in every time, I'm going to end up speaking over everyone. So bear with us, please, listeners. Claire, thank you very much for your points. Patricia, what's your view on this welfare payments cut and the timing of it? And again, good morning to you. By the way, I should mention Patricia McBride, Director of On Green on Theatre. I think you're muted, Patricia, or I certainly can't hear you. I don't know what the story is there. We might have to come back to you on that. I can't hear you, Patricia, so you're going to have to fiddle with your settings.
If I could come in,
yes,
Greg,
please, Mary. I was just about come to you. Yeah.
Just on Claire's point about Donegal having, yes, we do have the second highest, and The reason the welcoming and the settling of refugees, and particularly the Ukrainian in Donegal, the reason for this is not to do with the government deciding that all numbers come to Donegal. It's because private individuals have offered accommodation which was accepted, and that's how it is. And that's, you know, the government had no control over that. They couldn't say to private people, no, you're not allowed to have any more than this. And that's unfortunately, and I would agree, sometimes it is a perfect storm in Donegal, because you have people, local people, agitated because of MICA, because of shortage of social housing, certainly. And I'm not saying that all of our refugees coming into Donegal are living in the best luxury accommodation that you can find. But, you know, it has caused tensions that should never have been caused, but they were caused by local people. I'm not going to say profiting, but local people offering.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But... Claire, I just want to go back to the timing of this one more time, right? Because it is probably something that needs to be called out if it is an issue, but you're satisfied that this is all being done for the right reasons?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right, okay. I think we have Patricia joining us as well now. Patricia, can you hear us okay? Just looking for your views on that, if that's okay.
Greg, sorry about the tech problems. Can you hear me?
You have them resolved. Let's go.
Okay. Thanks. I missed the last little bit of the conversation there, but what I was going to say previously was that I did agree with the points made by Mary and Claire. I mean, I think the only thing fair about the payment reduction now is that it is in line with what other people in social protection are being paid. But like the others, I feel that it opens a wider discussion about the issue of the numbers of people in social protection and what we're off system. There is an awful lot of money being spent on it, but it doesn't seem to properly address the issues of both the people that are in the system and also the people in the local community.
Okay, thank you very much for that. That was the views there of one of our guests, Patricia McBride. You are tuned to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. We're broadcasting live from Ongreenan Hotel in Burt. It's part of a Change Makers event that's happening here, and we're going to be bringing you some news and information from that. So much more besides, of course. But first, we're going to head back to base and take a quick commercial break. Stay right where you are.
The 9 till noon show is brought to you by Letterkenny Credit Union, offering low-rate car loans with fast approval. Apply online at letterkennycu.ie or in office today.
If you're aged 80 or over or have a weak immune system, it's time to get your COVID-19 spring booster vaccine. Your spring booster will top up your immunity against COVID-19 and help protect you from serious illness for the months ahead. It's recommended you get your booster before the end of May. Talk to a participating GP or pharmacist today, or call our HSC live team on 1800 700 700. Visit hsc.ie for more information. From the HSE.
Experience total relaxation in the Spa at Orchids at the Holyrood Hotel Bundoran, recently awarded Best Hotel Spa Getaway at the RSVP Spa Awards. Enjoy luxury spa baths, revitalizing facials, rejuvenating massages, pampering body treatments, outdoor hot tub and tranquil Japanese garden. Visit on a luxury spa day, pop in for some me time or buy the perfect present with a gift voucher. Relax and let the Spa at Orchids transport you to another world. See HolyroodHotel.com.
In with the old at Vodafone. Trade in your old smartphone and switch to Ireland's most reliable mobile network, and you'll get a new iPhone 15 on us. Then we'll recycle and repurpose your old smartphone and even put some money back in your pocket too. Vodafone. Together we can. Offer ends 30th of June 2024, subject to availability. New customers switching to an eligible 24-month bill pay plan in-store only. Most reliable network only 2023. For verification and full terms, see vodafone.ie/terms.
Are you building, rebuilding or renovating? What heat pumps or solar panels would suit your build? Come along and speak to the experts, Efficient Renewables, on heat pumps and solar panels. Get advice on installation and grants available. Visit the Efficient Renewables showroom in Newton Cunningham and see these products in operation for yourself.
Following the heroics of the County Man last week, it's the turn of the Donegal Senior Ladies this Sunday. They also play our man Clonus in the Ulster Ladies Senior Football Championship Final. The game is live on Highland from the 3:30 throw-in, in association with Henry McGinley & Sons Limited Milford Donegal, specialising in structural steelwork, cladding and PVC roof systems. Call for a quote on 07491 53181.
Okay, you are very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. Thank you for texting in so far. What about €15 a week to buy food for a pet, says a listener. Morning, Greg. In relation to your speaker, Mary, help the Irish people first and then help others. Thank you. Another, we're not a wealthy people, bar a few in an elite position. Many cannot afford a roof over their heads, etc. I've worked all my life just to make ends meet. Now I worry how my grandchildren are going to manage. Our country is under severe strain for the working people. Another, can we challenge McHugh or McConnell Oak to live on that amount for a day, never mind a week, whilst holding the trauma of missing their loved ones or homeland, inhumane governing, and at the rate we're all going, we'll soon have a civil war here. Well, I'm not really quite sure we're at that point by any stretch yet. But Mary, I think really the situation is that the sense of inequality, or not that refugees are getting too much, but that a lot of Irish people feel they're not getting enough, those emotions, and it's very subjective, I think, resonate more than the reality of people fleeing a war. Do you know what I mean? It's they push that out of the way, because at the end of the day, you know, we look out for ourselves, don't we, as individuals?
Yeah, I mean, if you were living in Strabane and you were living in Lifford, in Strabane you're getting half of what you're getting in Lifford to live on, and there's not a huge difference in the two places where you live. What I'm saying, and to just answer that other listener saying, you know, that people in Ireland, it's only the wealthy, that's why it's per head of population spread across evenly, just that we now, I'm not saying that it's fair. There is always going to be inequalities. There are always going to be those who struggle, and it's very difficult to get ever overcome that. But what we have to look at is that we are not an impoverished nation. 1980s, when I had a friend who visited me recently from Australia, and she's not been back since then, she couldn't get over Ireland, how amazingly advanced the country had been from the 1980s. They were the tough times. So this is not for Irish people living here, looking after our own, not the toughest of times. For the people coming in, it is the toughest of times. And we have got to acknowledge that. And that, for me, I think that is the crucial form. And there are issues. Things are not, you weren't ready for this. Yep. Ireland isn't a country to where refugees ever or immigrants ever flooded into. We're in fact the opposite. So bear in mind, the Irish fled out of this country for hundreds of years, fleeing,
Yeah, I get you, Mary.
Recall.
Yeah.
You know, the Irish, no Irish, no blacks need apply. So where did that happen? How did we get muddled up into saying we don't want anybody into our country? And, you know, the particular slogan, Ireland is full. Ireland is full of what? Full of what?
Yeah, but the feeling, Mary, is that when people use that phraseology, is that they're not talking about necessarily every square inch of land. They're talking about the services and the capacity to deal with people is full. Do you want to come in on that, Patricia McBride? I suppose just to the fact that, you know, the difficulties people are facing, that seems now to trump the humanity crisis that many are facing in coming here.
Well, Greg, I think it's a classic case of victim blaming. You know, Ireland isn't full. A lot of ingrained social problems, like the lack of housing, the kind of dumbtruck nature of the country, where there's a lack of infrastructure in the regional areas. I don't think enough has been done to address those infrastructural issues that would help address the way that we can accept people coming into the country. And I mean, we're talking about refugees here, but we're also talking about economic migrants, people that our economy is dependent on. We're dependent on people coming in from other countries to work. And I mean, they face a fairly harsh kind of vetting period of, you know, of having to earn a certain amount of money before they can bring their family over. You know, there's an awful lot of issues, I think, that need to be addressed.
Yeah, I get you. Claire...
Of getting back to yep. people that are in social protection mm-hmm. and how we look at them
yep.
and how we treat them. Look at the money that's being spent on them. Is the money being spent in the right way?
Yes.
You know, so that's what my query is. I think we mm-hmm. have to look at the overall system of social protection.
Yeah.
And like, what about the land of a thousand welcomes? You know, I don't think Ireland is living up to that reputation, you know, and we should be doing more to accommodate people that we need for our economy, but also to offer protection to people fleeing
okay.
all sorts of conflict and difficulty.
Just before the break, Patricia, do you have a view on Wa's public attitude to the support of Sinn Féin? I mean, it's one poll, right, but there is a trend. And as I said yesterday, there's lots of polls done on radio, and you want to trumpet when it's good, and then you don't hear so much from certain people when it's not great. But you have to sort of live by the polls and die by the polls to some extent. What do you think is harming Sinn Féin?
Again, like I'm not 100% sure, but what I think is probably a lack of clarity around their policy on things and a lack of leadership on important issues. I mean, Sinn Féin has enjoyed the position of being on the outside and able to snipe and sort of promise the world for in terms of what they will do if they get into power. But they need to kind of guarantee that their policies will work. And I think in general, people are feeling disaffected by politics, by all the parties. Like I, for one, am very tired of hearing how buoyant the economy is, how much money is in the coffers. But these long-term issues of social housing, the de facto block crisis here in Donegal in the northwest, the waiting lists, the trolleys in our hospitals, all of those things are not being addressed. You know, those are fundamental and infrastructural things that we need to
when you tell people that we're rich and it doesn't feel like that, it feels like it's gaslighting. Listen, thank you very much for that for now. We are broadcasting live here from the foyer of On Green On Theatre here in On Green On Hotel here in Burt. People are just arriving for Changemakers Donegal Seminar, so you'll get a bit of background noise at the moment. That will clear, and we're going to rejoin our guests for our Friday panel after we take this quick break. Stay right where
you are.
Watch
the show live now on YouTube, Facebook and at highlandradio.com.
The 9 till noon show with Letterkenny Credit Union. Simplify your debts with a debt consolidation loan from Letterkenny Credit Union. Call us on 074-910-2126. Or apply online via our app or in office today.
Still putting up with frustratingly slow broadband? Don't wait any longer. Imagine's high-speed broadband is being installed right now. Sign up today to get our hero package for just $49.99, saving you €180. Visit imagine.ie or freephone 1-800-938-407 to upgrade to faster broadband faster. Subject to location and availability, minimum 18-month contract. Activation fees and annual price change of CPI plus 3% applies. Offer ends 30th of June. See imagine.ie for full terms and conditions.
FBD doesn't stand for frightening lad dentists.
Ferociously beating drums.
Or feline business directors. FBD stands for support. We support business owners in Ireland with tailor-made services from personally assigned advisors. Visit your local branch to talk to your FBD insurance team. FBD Insurance. Support. It's what we do. Underwritten by FBD Insurance PLC. FBD Insurance Group Limited, trading as FBD Insurance, is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Uisce Éireann is Ireland's national water utility, responsible for delivering clean, safe and reliable national public drinking water and wastewater services for Ireland. For any questions about public water services or to report an issue in your area, we can be contacted 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on 1800 278 278 or visit water.ie. Uisce Éireann. Delivering water services for Ireland.
Are you ready for something new? Join us at iMotors for our spectacular 242 event happening from May 20th to 26th. We will be unveiling the latest models from Kia and Nissan. Get ready to experience new technology, sleek designs, and unbeatable offers on our brand new vehicles. Don't miss out on this exclusive event. Mark your calendars and come see us at iMotors Drumkeen.
iMotors, fearless generation.
Sometimes it's just bad luck, but sometimes it's negligence. From minor bumps to life-changing injury, every accident has a story. Time to call McElhinney and Associates. They'll assess the situation, advise on solutions, and lead the way if any litigation is to follow. From motor accidents and workplace accidents to slips, trips, and falls, call today on 074-917-5989 or find us online. Let's get you started on the road to recovery. McElhinney and Associates Solicitors, Stranorler. How can we help? In contentious business, a solicitor may not calculate fees or other charges as a percentage or proportion of any award or settlement.
Right, you go. You're very welcome back to On Green on Theatre. I keep saying On Green on Theatre. I think it's the Patricia McBride influence. On Green on Hotel here in Burt. It is the Friday show, so we have our Friday panel in, and I appreciate their patience in that. I think we all have a little bit of technical issue. Mary always does, so we're well used to that. It wouldn't be Mary Hart if her broadband wasn't playing up. But anyway, it's all good. I'll start with you, Claire, if that's okay on this one, because e-scooter legislation means that anyone over the age of 16 now is permitted to travel on local, national and primary routes. Do you think this is a positive step forward? Like, it's a green light for anyone over 16 now to go up and down Letterkenny, in and out the four lanes, all around whatever they want to go now. So this is it now. It's all allowed. And I think we'll see a big increase in people using them. What's your feelings on it?
Well, I think, I think anything that helps people get where they need to go is good. And we're very mode of transport, really, other than walking or cycling. So I think that's probably a very good thing. I think, like everything that's new, it's going to take time for people to get used to having e-scooters on the road, like cyclists, having that awareness when you're driving and all of that. I did try and find out today or yesterday, do you need a helmet? And I that was the most worrying thing
You don't need a helmet, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the issue I have with it. Not, you know, I think it's great to enable people who maybe can't afford or don't need a car. An e-scooter is a great way to get people from A to B, enable people to take up a job, you know, all of that, absolutely really positive. But where's the safety? And in looking at all the recommendations about the age limits and the weight limits and, you know, the two braking systems and all of that, that's all great. But how do we get to this point and we don't insist that people...
Yeah, and it should be pointed out as well too. I mean, this aligns itself with the laws.
The basic need for a helmet. I'm astounded.
Yep. Well, you don't need a helmet either to ride a push bike. Either. So, yeah. Patricia McBride. We once again we seem to be putting the cart somewhere before the horse, because we don't necessarily have the infrastructure to accommodate all this new type of traffic. Is that a concern of yours? Is any of it a concern, or is it all good?
No, that is a concern of mine, Greg. I welcome the legislation. I think, like Claire says, you know, there's a lot of benefits to the scooters. They're affordable. They have low emissions. You know, they're an economic way for people to... economical way for people to be able to travel short distances. But there is, again, I keep talking about infrastructure here, and I was scooting about on one of those scooters myself. You know, it was a brilliant way to get around the city, but there was, the whole city was networked with these paths dedicated to bicycles and scooters, and we just don't have that here. And again, I think it needs that investment. But I do welcome the legislation. I think in general, the e-scooters are a good thing. They're easy, efficient. They're affordable for people who might not be able to afford a car. Even getting from one end of the town of Letterkenny to the other, it's a fair old hike or an expensive taxi drive You don't have your own car because the bus infrastructure is not there. There's not the public transport.
Yeah, it
for
really
people.
Is quite remarkable. I mean, you can go into many stores in Letterkenny, for example. You can pick up one of these for, you know, €320, and you get 28 miles of range off a six-hour charge. I mean, 28 kilometres of range. It really is quite remarkable. Mary Hart, what's your view?
Sorry, Greg.
No, that's
you,
okay.
You dropped out again.
That's okay. We're going to just have to bear with that. Mary Hart, are you with us there?
Yes, I am. I think you spoke too soon. I think I dropped out, but I am here. You can hear me all right.
Yeah, so what's your view on the e-scooter legislation coming in now?
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it at all. And I do like Claire and Patricia, I do agree that it's anything positive that will get people out and about in an affordable way without emissions has to be good. Certainly, I have a hearing issue, and one of my worries is I don't hear them coming along the footpath, and I can step out in front of one and I possibly could knock somebody over and knock somebody in front of a car. So the infrastructure is the big serious issue. And I think also what you don't want are young people, flying around on footpaths where there are older people like myself. So we need to be, implementing the legislation.
Yeah, indeed.
How do you get people on the street to behave properly? That would be my concern about it. But other than that, I would see it as a positive rather than a negative.
Yeah, okay. I'm just stopping my video, ladies, but I'm still here. Don't worry about that. And again, what happens, Mary, is this falls on the shoulders of the Gardaí to police again whether they're going over 20 kilometres per hour, whether they have brakes front and back, whether they have a seat on or not.
This is a big problem always. You know, we have loads of wonderful pieces of legislation passed in Ireland, but we rarely have the follow-on of implementing them and ensuring that they're adhered to. And it's another, I'm not going to say a burden on the Gardaí. That's what the Gardaí are employed to do, is to monitor people breaking the law. So I think perhaps a traffic police might be the next step for us to have, rather than having the Gardaí. We do need a force that can watch in some towns and villages that these things are not abused.
Claire, just as it relates to the enforcement of this, it does fall on the Gardaí. And just before I get to that, lots of people are talking about, accidents or collisions on the roads, who's culpable and all that type of stuff. The bottom line is, as far as the RSA are concerned and as far as the Gardaí are concerned, you view them as push bikes. They're just push bikes. So
yes,
it's the exact same. And there's not going to be anything brought in to change that either. But are you... Are you confident they'll be kept off the footpaths, they'll be kept on the roads, the miniatures, the speeds will be monitored, etc.?
Well, I think it's like anything that's new. It's going to be a suck it and see sort of thing. You know, we're going to see now that this has ramped up, we'll probably see a lot more of them around our towns and villages in Donegal. I actually think it could be that the version of that that's like the bike here, where you can pick up a bike, you could pick up a scooter at Tesco's, take it down, leave it at Old Dunn's, and you can get around the town with having to go into three different car parks and all of that. So I think the benefits and the potential is there.
And just on that, Claire, it's quite interesting. They do that in Brussels, and I was over there last year, and it looked like a scrapyard for scooters. There was these scooters, the hop-on, hop-off scooters, absolutely everywhere, just strewn across the entire city. I think France actually has done away with such a scheme because of such a problem. But I suppose you can do it. You have to do it right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like that, the enforcement, and, I do think, the County Council has planned for lots of active travel routes, and you're going to see a lot of new routes, around Pierce Road and, various different roads, active travel routes, and the bike lanes are going to multiply.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, listen, thank you very much for that, Claire. You are tuned to the 9 till noon show. I really appreciate everyone's patience, by the way, because there must be an issue with connectivity in the area we're broadcasting from today. So there are dropouts. That's only for the first hour, by the way. Everything else is in person. So apologies for that. And thanks to Claire, Patricia and Mary as well for bearing with me so far. They've got about another 10 minutes to bear. But first, let us take this quick commercial break, and then we'll be
be right
back. The 9 till noon show is brought to you by Letterkenny Credit Union. Digital loans now available. Apply online or via our app today and get your loan transferred directly to your current account.
Irwin Expert Electrical, your trusted destination for all things home appliances, electrical and entertainment in the Northwest. With over 50 years of leading the way, we pride ourselves on offering a diverse range of products under one roof. From top brands like LG, Samsung, Cooker, Bosch, Apple and more, take advantage of our free layaway service where you can store your new items until you're ready for them. Perfect for renovations and new build projects. Visit Irwin Expert Electrical today in Letterkenny or Buncrana.
Once again, thousands of people all over Ireland came together for Darkness into Light. So however you mark the most important sunrise of the year for those affected by suicide, Electric Ireland and Pieta want to thank you. There's still time to donate at darknessintolight.ie. Proudly supported by Electric Ireland.
With Big Scoop Ice Cream at Kelly's Diner in Letterkenny, there's so much choice. From Bubblegum Blast to Oreo Crunch, named after Kelly's famous robot waiter. There's loads of flavours to choose from, or you can create your own. Treat the kids and the big kids to a yummy ice cream dessert at Kelly's Diner, Mountaintop, Letterkenny.
At AXA, we know running a home can run up your costs too. That's why you can save up to 30% on our home insurance. Get a quote today. Together, we've got this. AXA. Know you can. Policy terms and conditions apply. Minimum premium is €160. A 30% discount is available after 3 consecutive years claims-free, 15% after 2 consecutive years, and 10% after 1 year claims-free. AXA Insurance DAC is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
At CS Architectural Salvage, you'll find made-to-measure traditional cast iron radiators, exterior garden ornaments, original Belfast brick, decorative brick, granite cobbles, quarry tiles, natural stone flag, railway sleepers, and much more. Log on to csarchitecturalsalvage.com.
Highland Radio weather updates with McIlhenny's. Support local at McIlhenny's. With 53 years experience in fashion, beauty and home, we're here for you. Plus, enjoy M-Card rewards when you shop in-store at McIlhenny's Bally Buffet.
Right, so any mist or fog patches should be starting to clear now to leave a mix of cloud and sunny spells. It'll be a largely dry day, but there is a chance of a few heavy showers developing during the afternoon and evening. Maximum temperatures today generally ranging from 17 to 20 degrees. Some comments here. Your speaker needs a reality check. Irish people who emigrated always worked hard and sent money home to struggling families and received no free handouts from any country. People who are blind here cannot afford to feed their guide dogs nor the veterinary fees. Our elderly people can't manage to feed themselves nor their pets. It's a disgrace. Roll on the election. There is an agenda going on. It's not the people but the government that need to wake up. Irish people are opposed to mass emigration every time they have had a chance. We never consented to Ireland becoming minority Irish. Well, I mean, if you look at the figures, we are an awful long way away from minority Irish, but I take your point. If they are living on such a low income, where are all the shop LK and One for All vouchers coming from? I work in a shop and yesterday a male from Ukraine had over €500 worth of vouchers. Who's supplying them? Our revenge will be the laughter of our children. One wonders if there'll be any Irish children left to laugh by the time Liberal Ireland is finished. There seems to be a great fear, Claire McDonough. There seems to be a great fear amongst people that Ireland is going to be obliterated, that there's no Ireland for the Irish anymore.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, Greg, where I think sometimes the minority voice is very, very loud. So I hear a lot of that in terms of conversations, bar conversations, Facebook or whatever. But when I'm out and about talking to people, I don't hear that same level of concern, I have to say. I think that a lot of that has been blown up by media coverage. You know, I think that's the story. Let's go after that story. And then it gets more of coverage than it actually, you know, than it and that it relates to in reality. But, you know, I think you look at the States, you look at different places, fear has a There seems to be money and fear. That's.
I mean, at the end of the day, the reality is statistically, 12% of the population are not Irish citizens. That's 12% of the population. Now, many of them are people as well, too, from England or Scotland now living here. Right. I mean, like, I don't mind discussing it, but I always like things to be discussed in a space of facts rather than not facts. And that is the bottom line. The majority, the 84% of the people in Ireland are normally living here in Irish. Do you understand the fear, though, of the... I suppose it feeds into, Patricia, this great replacement theory, really, that started in America and has spread throughout of all of Europe. Yep, I know, Patricia, there's a lot of background noise.
Craig, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
No,
all,
that's no problem. Don't apologise. What I'm saying is there is this fear. There is this fear of the Irish people being replaced. You hear it all the time.
But you said something earlier, Greg, about, you know, we take care of our own or we look after ourselves. And I think that fear is fed by the fact that a lot of people in Ireland are generally struggling with the cost of living. You know, they don't have any money spare at the end of the month. You know, they're struggling to make ends meet, and therefore that fear is kind of directed to basically the other victims of, you know, difficulty, rather than actually seeing the real picture of what's going on. So I think fear is a factor, but I think there's an awful lot of money behind various campaigns. I mean, the rise of the far right in Ireland, it's not happening in a vacuum. You know, it's there's a similar movement across Europe. So that's being promoted. Mm-hmm. And Mary made the point of promotion that people can do on social media. And I think that feeds into it as well. So you're getting a very kind of loud message from a minority of people. And I find the same as Claire. I mean, most people that I talk to don't actually feel that way. They, you know, they don't think Ireland is full. They want to be welcoming. They want to be supportive to people that need protection.
Okay, that's quite an interesting, Patricia, and I really appreciate you working through the issues. In there's an awful lot of noise here, but that is my experience is actually the opposite. I feel the majority of people I speak to, and I speak to many different people, do feel that we are full in terms of access to services and what have you. Mary Hart, the one thing, though, that can't be disputed is that seemingly people direct their anger at the refugees and those seeking protection and not the people that make the decisions. What's the psychology there?
Sorry, I missed the last sentence there.
People tend to direct their anger at the refugees and asylum seekers and not the policy makers. I wonder what the psychology is there.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's you can identify a refugee, sadly, sometimes by the colour of their skin. And to quote Martin Luther King, it should not be the colour of your skin, but the personality that you have. I'm paraphrasing it, but, you know, that the important thing is that I do believe that there is this fear mongering going on by the people that want to perpetuate, the anti-immigrant campaign and agenda, and they're pushed by somebody else. As Patricia says, there's a far right movement that is coming out of America or coming out of wherever, and it's been easily pushed in Ireland through social media. It could be somebody. I have done this, I have asked the question, and I know, Greg, as you said, you want to go with the facts. 90% of people who will be appearing on criminal charges in Letterkenny Court every week that it sits will be Irish people. They will not be immigrants. So this attitude of we have to lock our doors, we have to protect our children, we have to mind our women is absolute and utter peddling and a negative and a lie.
Okay, listen, we'll leave it there. I want to thank all of you, by the way, for bearing with us. I know it hasn't been easy just with the connections and the audio. But listen, thank you very, very much for joining us on the 9 till noon show. That was Claire McDonough, president of Letterkenny Chamber and director of Le Maison. We also had Patricia McBride, of the director of On Green on Theatre, and Mary Hart, who is a broadcaster. And the one thing I will say just in relation to some of that conversation, I mean, my experience is, and it was too hard because of the sound issues to sort of have this back and forwards with the guest, is that, you know, a lot of the concerns that are being expressed aren't from, in inverted commas, the far right. They're just the average people that you meet on the screens. Anyway, a caller says, my family member who has cancer and a heart condition and was extremely sick sat in casualty for over 30 hours before he got a bed. Now tell me again how we are a wealthy country. It's not the migrants, it's the government policy. Well, indeed, many of the migrants would be charged with treating your family member and making them better. Isn't that right? I support Sinn Féin, but if they don't fix the defective concrete redress scheme when they get into government, I'll be walking away from them. I don't have defective blocks, but it's time these poor people are given 100% to fix their home plus compensation for stress. And we are broadcasting from On Green on Hotel in Burt, and it was here where so many people attended the public meetings. You know, the People's Document public meetings. The room just across from me here was absolutely wedged with people on that evening. If someone is knocked down by one of these scooters, whose insurance covers possible injuries? Worry about the speed and ability to stop in an emergency, balance control. Well, again, we're being told to treat them as bicycles. Cyclists can do 35, 40 kilometres per hour on the roads, easy peasy. These scooters are supposed to be limited to 20 kilometres per hour. A caller says the Irish worked hard and built America. They had a criteria to meet to get in. They were screened, and if they didn't make it, they were buried at sea. Another, Greg, at the rate of Irish abortions and the influx of foreigners, the scales will be tipped sooner than you think. I'm just looking at the raw data here, but I take your point. Has anyone walked the streets of Letterkenny? Hardly an Irish person in sight, and then people see the benefits that refugees are getting. When are you talking about walking the streets? I do understand what you're saying, but I found it that you would... but then again, you can't judge how long people have been living in this country for. There are second, third generation people with different ethnic backgrounds. Stop the name calling crap about far right. Well, you know, on this show, we generally are trying to avoid that as much as possible. Okay, we're going to take a break now. We'll be back with more on the 9 till noon show after we take a break for the news.